Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
All right. Well, here we go. Welcome, everyone. South Cars TNT. Oops, sorry, I'm overmodulating there. This is the Thursday night thematic open forum for Thursday, November 12th, 2009. South Cars TNT is a directed public service open forum whose aim, oops, sorry, that's my Outlook reminder, ha ha. I have to check what it's reminding me of, probably that this net is starting right now. South Cars TNT is a directed public service open forum whose aim is to share the collective knowledge with any and all who have an insatiable curiosity for all things. We promise to entertain, to inform, mostly we promise to have fun. Conference is made available by the Western Michigan privately owned repeater network, and we thank these guys for this opportunity to transmit tonight. Your net control for this evening is me, Pete Victor Echo 2 X-ray Papa Lima. I am currently in beautiful Montreal, where the temp is a very cool 4 degrees Celsius tonight, 39 Fahrenheit, under very clear skies, which explains the coolness. Christmas is fast approaching, people. Have you guys started your Christmas shopping yet? Well, I haven't. At this time, I would like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anyone needing to contact a station and move off the server for their QSO. All right, that is a negative. And FYI, that Outlook reminder was to remind me to pay my Visa bill, which comes due tomorrow. So I guess I should probably do that. All right, I was planning on having a special guest interview for the first time, but unfortunately my interviewee had to work tonight and will be back in January. So you guys are stuck with me. I'm going to do I had a plan B, of course, which I was going to do next week, but I'll do my plan B this week and be another mosh posh of various events, happenings, reviews, kind of like we did a few weeks ago. Our open forums are being recorded each week. Oh, that reminds me, I should hit record, which I'm going to do right now. As we speak, our open forum is being recorded. Paul, I hope you're out there, and I hope that you got the beginning of this. For podcasts, which are available at www.voip.southcars.com. It's a good thing I keep notes. And look at the look for the South Cars VoIP podcast link on the left of the page. Also, the opinions expressed herein are my own and do not necessarily represent those of South Cars. As a reminder, this is an open forum, so I'd strongly encourage your participation at any time. Please feel free to break in at any time. I pause every 4 minutes, of course, 3 to 4 minutes, or I time myself out. I've noticed that Kathleen has just joined us. Hello, Kathleen. So I'd remind you that this is an open forum, and there is also an FCC rule I've learned against broadcasting. So if you guys don't participate in the open forum, you are helping me break the law. You are aiding and abetting in a criminal's blabbing pursuits. So I strongly encourage you guys to break in at any time. I welcome your comments. And concerns, of course. I will pause. The pauses also help me situate myself in my notes because I have a slew of papers on my desk that I shuffle through regularly, so that helps me out a little bit. I'd like to start by asking you guys to get a pencil and a paper ready because I'm going to have a little math problem for you guys later on. Nothing complicated, but a little bit of math to keep your brain honed and sharp. So give you guys a bit of time to grab that, and in a few minutes something I heard on a local net tonight, actually, which I thought was very interesting. So get yourselves a piece of paper and a pencil, and we'll do that very soon. All right, I'm going to start with some local news. What's happening in the world of Pete, VE2XPL?
That's me.
Let's see, Remembrance Day or Veterans Day. We call it Remembrance Day, and I think in the U.S. You call it Veterans Day, or perhaps the term is interchangeable between the two countries, that I'm not sure of. But remembering our veterans on November 11th, which was yesterday, on a beautiful, warm Sunday afternoon, we celebrate, we don't celebrate it, but our small town called Greenfield Park. I live in a town of about 20,000 people. And because most people work during the week, and Remembrance Day is not an official holiday here, which I think is a shame and a crime. I think it should be an official holiday because it's very important to remember those who fought for us. But our town does a little thing on Sunday. So this past Sunday, November 8th, our little town had its Remembrance Day event, or its Veterans Day event. I live just south of Montreal, like I said, a town of just under 20,000 people, and I'm proud to say that our town has had a Remembrance Day or Veterans Day, a celebration or commemoration every year since I can remember, since I was a young lad, and most certainly these were going on before that, of course. Commemoration ceremony kicked off at 2 p.m. local time under some beautiful sunny skies with the traditional laying of the wreaths, of course, by several groups, including local police, fire stations. Royal Canadian Mounted Police were represented. Many levels of scouting and guiding groups, political representation from the city, from the province and from the country, from Canada, of course, and the military, of course, was there. The Karnak Shriners were there, military bands. Flags were flown at half-mast, of course, and a non-denominational prayer was said for those who lost their lives in the various wars so that we can enjoy our freedom in North America today. We have a memorial monument right in front of our town hall, and that's where the ceremony takes place. Many people were in attendance, from the very young to the very old. And I'm happy to see that parents are passing on this tradition, this most important tradition, onto their kids. There's a lot of families who come to this commemoration. There's a little bit of unexpected action this year, which is atypical of the event. One of our veterans, one of our World War II veterans, an elderly gentleman, missed one of the steps as he was stepping up onto the monument to lay his wreath and fell over. But he was quickly up and unscathed, and he later said that with everything that he'd been through in his life, it'd take him a lot more than that to keep him down. So some good spirit there. So luckily he wasn't hurt. And another young lad was part of one of the cadet corps, actually passed out. I'm not sure if he was just standing at attention too hard, but very concentrated and just lost consciousness very quickly. There's an ambulance technician, and ambulance was on site, looked him over, and he was quickly cleared. So everything worked out well in the end, but not typical of every year's ceremony or commemoration. I'm not sure if ceremony is the right word. I think commemoration is more of the proper term, so apologize for that slip. The parade followed the ceremony, the parade followed the commemoration with the various groups marching through the streets of our town, onlookers waving, of course. My wife and daughter are part of the local Girl Guide unit. My wife is a brownie leader, and Isabel, my oldest daughter, is a second-year brownie, so she was very proud to be a part of the parade. And I was following in behind with our two pooches who are there every year. My pooches are very distinctive looking. I adopted them out west when I was living in the Rockies, and they look nothing like the dogs that you can get in the east, which is really weird. I could never figure that out, why the dogs in the west look different from the dogs in the east. And maybe somebody can tell me if it's the same thing in the U.S., if your western dogs are different from your eastern dogs. But nobody recognizes me, but they recognize my dogs, so that's how I'm well known. My dogs, I used to do search and rescue tracking with my dogs, and so they're very well behaved, and they're great around kids, so I bring them to all the events, and a lot of the kids like to see them around. So my youngest daughter, of course, was tagging along as an honorary brownie member as well. After the parade, we went to the local arena, upstairs from the arena, from the skating rink, where hot chocolate was served and some snacks, and a good place for some eyeball QSOs with a lot of the local community members. So I certainly hope that everybody out there at least took a moment of silence to remember yesterday. At 11 a.m. is the time that we take that time to remember those who fought for our freedom, and I think it's very important to do so. So as they say, lest we forget. lest we forget. So I'll take a pause, and if anybody would like to chime in and share some of your Veterans Day commemorations, I would invite you to do so. Please come aboard South Cars TNT now. Left an extra long pause there to make you guys feel ill at ease. So, but I joke, of course, I joke. Local club news, what's happening at VE2CLM? That's the our local South Shore Radio Club, the one I belong to, the South Shore Amateur Radio Club. This past week, Tuesday, November 10th, had its annual AGA, the Annual General Assembly, and the Administrative Council elections were held. I've been a member of the club for about 2 years now, and I decided it was time to get involved. In the past, I've organized a lot of small events, photo competitions, and I've volunteered at many, pretty much all of the activities that we have. I like to volunteer and get involved. First of all, I get in there first, so, you know, a ham fest. It's always good to volunteer at a ham fest because you get to get in before everybody else and see and snag all the good stuff. So I strongly encourage you to volunteer if just for that reason, but it's a good way to give back as well. But I decided it was time to take it to the next level, so I wanted to compete for a position on the club's administrative council. It's a council of 7 members that takes the administrative decisions for the club and kind of decides generally as to the direction that the club's going to take. So I love our small little radio club. It's a good bunch of guys. There are about 53 members, if I'm not mistaken, with a few new members that we picked up. 54, actually, because we have a new member who joined us, a gentleman from Sweden who now lives in Canada. His name is Philip. He's VE2PHI, so I welcome him to the fold, and an antenna expert, so I'll have to get him on here for an interview because he knows quite a bit about fiber optics and antennas, which I think is quite fascinating. So anyhow, I decided that I'd give it a shot. I'm the second youngest member of our club. There's one gentleman is in his mid-20s, and I'm the next in line at 45, and everybody else, the other 52 members are actually older than me, between their late 40s and into their late 80s, which is great. We have a great range of experience. So I just kind of figured I could bring a different perspective and a different dynamic to the group. So I'm all ready for my competition there for the elections at our Monday night local radio club net. I announced my intentions to run for the elections, and I actually challenged all the members to run against me. I figured the more competition we have, the better it is for the club. So 3 members were stepping down after many, many years of service. The president, the club secretary, and one of the members at large, or one of the officers is what they're called. So I decided to throw my name into the hat for the elections. So I was already, I'd prepared my speech to try to sway people to vote for me. But it turns out that only 3 of us stepped forward to fill those positions. So there was no elections. It was unanimous. 3 stepped down and 3 came forward. So I'm happy to report that I was, quote, elected, unquote, as an officer of the Council of Administrators of our club. And I'm very happy to be a part of that group. Like I said, election is pushing it, of course, but I'm still happy to be a member of the team. So I'll have a little bit more say, perhaps, in the directions of the club and some of the activities that we may have. I have lots of ideas, and I have lots to say, as you guys have already figured out, most likely. So I'd strongly encourage all y'all to be part of your local clubs. Being active in your community is very important, and your local radio club is part of your community. Many of the radio clubs do a lot of good community service work, volunteer at various events for communications and community service. So whatever you can do that feels right for you, you know, it's only with your involvement, that your organization can thrive. I just had to have a sip of water. It seems that my throat is getting a little bit scratchy. My my youngest daughter has been fighting a cold all week, and my wife has been, as the expression goes, sick as a dog. And I say that because she's not in earshot, and she would kill me if she heard me say that. But she was very, very sick this week. I had to take over some of the household duties, which is certainly not a problem. They're feeling better now, but maybe my turn. I could feel the scratch in my throat. So you guys will have to bear with me. All right, carrying on with some other news. Winter Field Day 2010. Winter Field Day. Have you guys heard of Winter Field Day? I had no idea there was a Winter Field Day. The Society for the Preservation of Amateur Radio is a nonprofit, is a nonpartisan group, of a concerned amateur radio operators working together to ensure the vitality of the amateur radio service by promoting technical abilities among amateur radio operators. The Society for the Preservation of Amateur Radio's Winter Field Day will be held January 30th and 31st, 2010. SPAR, as it's called, SPAR stands for the Society for the Preservation of Amateur Radio. Field Day is perhaps the most popular of the many activities enjoyed by amateurs. Well, actually, if you discount the summer field day, I would think, I would imagine that the winter field day is perhaps not as popular, but maybe it is. Who knows? Although I can't imagine being out up here in January. It's pretty cold, so a field day out there in a tent, I could probably put up with it, but I think I much prefer the summer ones. But we'll see what we can put together. I haven't decided how I'm going to participate yet, but I think it'll be a lot of fun. So every June, of course, Summer Field Day, the bands come alive. This is from their website. I'm quoting from the SPAR website, which I'll give you very soon. Every June, the bands come alive with improvised signals, proving the ability to respond to emergencies. The event also offers an opportunity for camaraderie and a chance to test ourselves in less than ideal circumstances. However, emergencies and natural disasters don't always happen in the summer. Isn't that the truth? In 1997, we had a huge, huge winter ice storm here, the ice storm of 97. I mean, it's the biggest thing that's happened up here in years, and that brought down a number of cell towers, electrical towers, in the dead of winter, and many people were left without communications or electricity for days to weeks. So indeed, they don't only happen in the summer. Winter winds, icy limbs, and bitter cold replace the thunderstorms and blistering heat of summer. To test our abilities to operate in the winter, in 2007, SPAR established a Winter Field Day event and invited all amateur radio operators to participate. In both, in 2007, 2008, and 2009, the event was enjoyed by many and considered a success, and has been designated an annual event to be held the last full weekend each January, the last full weekend of each January. Therefore, it's time to issue the invitation for the fourth annual SPAR Winter Field Day. Another sip of delicious ice water. The 2010 Winter Field Day will be held from 1700 UTC. There's that UTC time again. You guys go to worldtimeanddate.com, I believe, or just go to the www.voip.southcars.com website for the link for your translation to your local area. 1700 UTC, which is noon Eastern for us here in the East, Saturday, January 30th, 2010, through 1700 UTC Sunday, January 31st. The object of the event is familiar to most amateur radio operators. Set up emergency-style communications and make as many contacts as possible during the 24-hour period. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? The rules encourage as many contacts on as many bands and modes as possible, because during a real emergency, the most important factor is the ability to communicate, regardless of band, mode, or distance. So all bands will be worked, except for 12, 17, 30, and 60 meters. I'm not sure why that is. I haven't researched it that much. Perhaps one of you guys can chime in and enlighten me, but all bands except for 12, 17, 30, and 60. All the modes will go, any mode, and the categories are number of operators, one, two, or multi, and the second category is the site, indoor, outdoor, or home. So, for example, two operators at a remote campground would be 20, one person at home would be 1H, five club members operating from a community center would be MI. So there you go. So that sounds familiar. The official rules can be found at the SPAR website, which is www.spar-hams.com. www.spar-hams.org, www.spar-hams.org. And I'll make sure that all the links that I mention, I mention a lot of links during these mosh-posh sessions of mine during my rants, so I'll make sure that they all appear on the notes page of the podcast, where you guys go to download the podcast. There's always some notes there, so I'll make sure that these notes are in there, these websites are there. The event is open to all amateurs, of course, so please join with SPAR in promoting amateur radio and keep our bands alive. SPAR is open to all interested amateurs worldwide. SPAR is an organization, I mean. They invite all like-minded hams to join them in the promotion of technical achievement. Join SPAR in promoting amateur radio. And like I said, keep the bands alive. Again, the website for info is www.spar-hams.org. At this time, I will pause once again for any comments or questions that you guys may have. There you go, a little bit of a longer pause. Permitted me to type that website into the text box for those of you who have access to text box, and to all y'all who aren't close to the text box, like I said, I'll make sure it's in the show notes page there. What's next on the list? You guys probably remember me talking a couple of weeks ago. I was talking about Mike, the hero, the wizard of the Vermont Hobbit Hole, Mike AA1TJ, Alpha Alpha 1 Tango Juliet, and his what I thought was his amazing voice-powered transmitter. Here's an update. The source from this is from QRZ.com, Monday, November 9th. The title of the article was Voice-Powered 14 MHz Transatlantic Test. Transatlantic. On a Tuesday, November 10th there, reminiscent of our friend and my personal hero, Marconi. And it reads something like this. On Tuesday, November 10th at 1500 UTC, there's that UTC again, radio amateurs will attempt to span the Atlantic using a voice-powered transmitter on 14.055 megacycles CW. Mike, AA1TJ, and other radio amateurs have been experimenting with voice-powered transmitters. The power comes from rectifying the audio signal from the microphone. Some remarkable distances have already been achieved using voice-powered transmitters, which generate an output of between 2.5 and 15 milliwatts. QRP, you say? And that's real QRP. Now they're going to attempt to get this incredibly low-powered signal across the Atlantic. Mike writes on his website, Mike AA1TJ, some of the lads are heading over to the Maine seacoast on Monday morning for what we're calling a Rexpedition, W1REX, thus the Rexpedition, W1REX, was kind enough to secure the use of his family's beachfront camp for them for a couple of days. He explained the urgency to them, saying, "A bunch of radio heads want to talk to Europe with the equivalent of a cell phone with a dead battery." Ain't that the truth? So Rex and somebody called Sabe, I believe, AA1MY, and Jim, W1PID, are going to arrive early on Monday. This is this past Monday, of course, so this is all in the past, to begin putting up the antennas. Mike AA1TJ was going to show up around lunchtime and hopefully work long and hard until everything was done. So they were going to go put up, Sabe was going to erect a pair of half-wave phased verticals on 20 meters. The plan was to lift a 160-meter antenna using big kites. Wow, kites, that's pretty cool. I guess on the seacoast you wouldn't have trouble doing that either because you get lots of wind. That's very good. So he quotes, Mike quotes, "Our hope is to cross the pond on both 160-meter QRP and with my voice-powered 20-meter transmitter. The weather forecast looks great, at least through Tuesday. My code talker will be rockbound on 14.055 megahertz." Same as last Thursday. He'd done some tests the previous Thursday. Will he continues, "We'll begin the voice-powered 20-meter CW attempt the first thing on Tuesday morning, 1500 UTC, November 10th. Again, the goal is to span the Atlantic, but as always, I'm very pleased to work anyone that hears me." He continues, by the way, last Thursday, November 3rd's voice-powered operation on 20 meter was a great success. Although I worked four stations and received one SWL report, the best DX was W4 Foxtrot Oscar Alpha in Chickamauga, Georgia. I hope I pronounced that right. Chickamauga, Georgia. A distance of 923 miles he span. Tony reported that my 15 milliwatt signal was an honest 579. That's pretty respectable, considering how QRP that actually is, isn't it? W4OP, located 100 miles to the north of Tony, handed me the same report and followed up with amazing recording. You can hear it on his website. Yes, indeed. Check out his website. I'll give you the website as well in a few minutes, and you can actually check out the recording of this. It's pretty. I didn't have a chance to make a copy, but it's pretty impressive. The quote continues. Later in the day, I received an email from 85VC. Dana reported that he clearly copied my signal while listening on the LSU club station, K5LSU, in Baton Rouge, a distance of 1,375 miles, nearly half the distance between the main coast and London, England. So he's halfway there already. That's a week before he did this transatlantic test, he was halfway there, so it's looking good. I thought these were remarkable results for 50 milliwatts, indeed, into an end-fed wire at 35 feet. It makes this week's attempt from a saltwater QTH coupled with a low angle of radiation with a spot of directional gain all the more exciting. Yes, indeed. As you guys probably know, a saltwater ground plane, you can't beat that, can you? And he says, please keep in mind this coming Tuesday, blah, blah, blah. Thank you, Mike AA1TJ. So, moving forward, we'll use Pete's time machine, and what happened this past Tuesday? This was Tuesday, November 10th, of course, you ask? Well, here's an update from the Southgate Amateur Radio Club's website. That's www.southgatearc.org. So, let's see. The initial attempt to achieve a voice-powered transatlantic contact on Tuesday, November 10th, did not produce any QSOs. However, a video showing Mike, AA1TJ, using the incredible 15-milliwatt transmitter is now available on YouTube. So if you YouTube AA1TJ, you'll be able to see. And it's pretty incredible. This, I kind of figured a voice-powered, you know, you kind of figure a voice-powered transmitter. You figure these nice, clean little boxes, microphones. No, not at all. In a previous article, I remember reading that he was making the analogy between basically, you know, those radios we built when we were kids with two cans and a piece of string. Well, it's almost like that. If you look at the YouTube video, he's actually he's mouthing the CW, you know, so he has his mouth in this can and he's going deet, 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 deet. So it's not even mechanical or electronic CW. It's literally, it's voice CW. I was flabbergasted. It never even dawned on me that that's what he was doing. So I encourage you guys to do that. Let's see, it did not produce any QSOs, so we've read that. Rex Harper, W1REX, posted this report on the attempt on the GQRP mailing list. The GQRP Club, in case you guys, it's an FYI, was formed in 1974 by Reverend George Dobbs, G3RJV, and this GQRP Club is a nonprofit organization, this is from their website, run entirely by volunteers to promote low-power radio. I've become, over time, a big fan of QRP. I used to kind of dream of setting up this, you know, huge shack, a huge sack, no, not a sack, a shack, you know, big antennas, big power, which, you know, my neighbors would hate me for, of course, because I live in Montreal or close to it. But I've found the wonders of QRP. I think low power is amazing. But anyways, I continue. Whether you have a ham license or not, everyone is welcome. The GQRP Club's quarterly magazine called Sprat, S-P-A-R-T, provides a fascinating read containing articles of varying complexity, from simple test equipment to fully functional radio transmitters and receivers. Membership fees are about as low as you'll find anywhere, and club sales service to members is second to none, they claim. So to visit the GQRP website, just go to www.gqrp.com. So that's an easy one, www.gqrp.com. And it magically appears in the text box. Technology wonderful. So anyways, on this website, it says, we started at about 8:45 a.m. This morning. So this was posted Tuesday evening after they did their transatlantic test, because AA1TJ was too excited to wait any longer. He shouted into his number two can, like I was saying, just shouting CW into the can for a couple of hours until I thought he was going to burst the vessel. And I'm not talking about one of the many passing out by the ocean, but a vessel in his head. We thought that we had a two-way QSO a couple of times, but the returns were simply lost in the noise. So maybe it worked. He's not sure. Michael ran out of steam or breath, and none of us old-timers could cut the mustard or soup or whatever it was in the can. AA1MY, Sabe, launched a kite the evening before in an attempt at a 160-meter record. He intended to operate on 1.811 and cross the pond, as they say, with a minuscule signal, but the bridle broke on the kite and it sailed away. So if the kite's not there, I guess it couldn't hold up the antenna, which is kind of sad. So to sum up the results of that day, and I quote from their website, zilch. However, they wish to thank everybody who kept on an ear for them, and they hope that as with time and patience, they're going to try it again. Actually, they were planning on trying it on Wednesday morning, but I haven't heard anything. So the AVI file, AVI is the video file, can be downloaded from www.qrpme.com/mvi0793.avi. If you just go to, if you just do a search on that, you'll find it quite easily on the Southgate Amateur Radio Club's website. That's how I came across it. So I encourage you to check it out. It's like I said, never seen anyone mouth CW into a can before, and contact, you know, as his best contact, 1,375 miles to Baton Rouge. That's not too shabby. At this time, I will take another pause. If anybody has any comments or would like to pipe in, please do so now. My name is Pete. As usual, I'm guilty of not identifying often enough. My call sign is DE2XPL, and I'm in Montreal. So come on aboard to the TNT Open Forum with your thoughts and comments now.
November selects rates for this November with great appreciation of all of the information that you gave us.
Roger that. Well, thank you. Could you just come back with your call sign, please, phonetically? I'd just like to write that down for my log. And any other comment you may have, you can throw in at the same time, please, sir. Thank you for your comments.
November 2, X-ray Juliet November, and 2 XJN. My name is Wesley, and I'm in Queens, New York.
Excellent. Queens, New York. Well, welcome, Wesley. Welcome to the Open Forum. I'm not sure that I've spoken to you before. You also live in a beautiful city. I had the opportunity to visit New York City last year. My cousin, who lives and works there, got married, and I was lucky enough to get an invitation, and she lives in Queens, Astoria. So perhaps you're familiar with Queens, Astoria. I'm not sure if you live in Astoria as well. Come back.
November to X-ray Juliet November. No, I do live in Maspeth, M-A-S-P-E-T-H. It's a part of Queens next to a huge Polish community, which is Ridgewood. Astoria is a little bit up next to Triborough Bridge. There where it is. It's a nice part of the city. And each part of that city has its own history and its own flavor. Like in In Canada, you have French, and there are so many beautiful things about Montreal. And then you have in here Greeks, mostly in Astoria, a lot of Greeks, and beautiful restaurants, and also the folklore. Then you have Polish, then you have Hispanic in different parts of it. If somebody is interested with culture of this city, he has a lot to do and a lot to learn. Anyway, back to you. Thank you for complimenting me. This is November to X-Ray Juliet November.
And 2XJN, VE2XPL. Oh, I thank you, sir. Thank you for coming back. Indeed, New York, very multicultural. And yes, the food was incredible. I couldn't believe it. And the people, I couldn't believe how nice the people were. You think it's such a big city and everybody's in a rush and you figure the people are going to be mean or rude, but no, not at all. The people were patient. People were stopping to talk to us, to give us directions. We felt very safe. We felt very welcomed. And like I said, I reiterate, the food was just incredible, and the fact that it's very multicultural, you can eat around the world in New York City, and my favorite, although my favorite I have to say, and I'd always wanted to try this ever since I was a little kid, is the street vendors that sell bratwurst, hot dogs. It's just amazing, such a great experience. And yes, we were staying very close to the Triborough Bridge, within walking distance, actually. And I visited that and took many, many pictures. So yes, I enjoyed it, and I look forward to going back. I was only there for 3 days, so I didn't have time to see. We got to see Central Park. We got to see the Museum of Civilization, and a few other places. Like I said, some good restaurants. But I look forward to going back. I'm hoping to go back this summer and spend some more time there. My cousin will be leaving New York in a year or two when she finishes her PhD, and she's looking at NASA for some employment, so she might end up in the southern United States. So I think my window is limited, so I better hurry up if I want to go visit New York and have a free place to stay anyway. So anyhow, Wesley, you're welcome anytime. You can break in anytime with your comments, and I thank you for breaking in. I'll take another pause, see if anybody else would like to chime in, and we'll continue. This is V2XPL in Montreal.
Thank you very much, and my comment is, this is November to X-Ray Juliet November. I love that city. Montreal. I happened to be once only in that city, and I felt something that was incredible. As soon as I crossed the border, I felt Europe. Not saying it's good or bad, for me it was good because my roots are from Europe. And everything was like, even the snow was like in Europe. And how could I describe that? The kitchen. Well, the frogs and the snails. That was the first time of mine when I experienced this kind of food. The frogs are like chicken. So I wasn't very much impressed with that, but snails, absolutely. Absolutely something. Anyhow, I do thank you very much, and I promise that when I'm going to be in Montreal one more time, I will at least look for a chance to meet you and talk to you. Thank you very much, and November to X-Ray, Juliet, November clear.
Well, it would be my great pleasure, and I invite you to come back. It is a great city, also very multicultural. And yes, frog's legs do taste very much like chicken. I don't eat them a lot, but I have had opportunity. Snails, I'm not so crazy about. I like seafood. Snails is not one of my favorite foods. Although with some garlic butter, it's quite nice. But perhaps we can chat after the net, Wesley. I'd very much like that, and I appreciate you coming back. Again, my name is Pete, VE2XPL in Montreal. This is South Cars TNT, And we will continue after this short pause from my sponsor, a nice glass of ice water. All right, let's keep going. We're looking at 9:11 p.m. here in the East. So let's see. Here's another article that I came across that I thought was interesting, and I just had to read it to you guys. This is great. And please don't shoot the messenger. The title of this is Religion and Ham Radio. And yeah, you guys are thinking, oh, here he goes. He's going to get himself kicked off the air. But bear with me. Religion and Ham Radio. This is from the weblog of an amateur radio operator called, well, his call sign is K0NR. And you can check him out at www.k0nr.com. And he's got a blog attached to that. And it's the blog's name is Stuff About Amateur Radio with emphasis on VHF, UHF, QRP. There's that QRP again. Portable and mountaintop operating. Another thing that I think is really cool, mountaintop operating. So this is an interesting article he wrote back in September of 2007. Religion in Ham Radio. And here's how it starts. Bear with me, guys. Bear with me. We need to get the religion out of ham radio. This is how he starts. Is that a controversial statement to start an article with or what? But he continues, nope, I'm not talking about the HF nets that support missionaries or similar activities. These people are actually doing some good for the world, he states. I am talking about religious debates concerning new technology, you know, like the kind that says, this technology is better than that technology. That's the religion he's talking about. Amateur radio is a technical hobby, it continues, one based on technology, hobbyist pursuits, and mutual interest. One might think that this means issues are looked at objectively, and discussions are based on logic, scientific principle, and fact. Of course, we all know this is completely wrong. What often shows up in ham radio are religious debates about technology or operating modes. He continues, here is a definition of religion, a specific fundamental set of beliefs and practices generally agreed upon by a number of persons or sects, for example, the Christian religion, the Buddhist religion, etc. One can tell when you are stuck in a religious debate. The facts quickly fade and statements like, this is the right way to do it, become louder. Underneath this is a fundamental belief trying to come out that the person may not even be aware they have. Oh, that's good. Nobody's jumping in to crucify me. I guess I'm doing all right. The article continues, a long-running example of a religious debate is Linux versus Windows, or Mac versus PC. On the surface, people argue about which one has more defects, which one is more secure, and which one ultimately serves their needs better. Underneath the surface is the religious belief. Software should be free. Microsoft is evil, etc. Then there are those Mac enthusiasts, and you know who you are. Actually, I'm one of those Mac enthusiasts. I love Macs. They're stable. But anyways, personal opinion. Those folks tend to act like a cult, and they attempt to convert other people into their group. I admit I've been guilty of trying to convert people onto the Mac side, but of course, if you choose to be a Linux user or a PC user, that's fine. I like to state my opinion, and that's where it stays. I don't think that I'm one of those people who becomes a religious fanatic about it, quote unquote. But who knows? You guys will have to be the judge of that, I guess. So let me continue with the article. Where is the line between enthusiast and cult member? The latest one on the ham radio front is the debate over digital technology in VHF and higher bands, V-Stars versus APCO P25. The debate starts out rational and a discussion of the merits of each, but soon the deeply held beliefs come out. V-Star is bad because ICOM is pushing it. P25 is good because it is the commercial standard. D-Star is good because it's an amateur radio standard. D-Star is proprietary, blah, blah, blah. For specific examples, if you go into the, I'll give you the link after, but for specific examples of debates, he gives you some links that you can go to, which I won't get into here because we all know what those debates are or what they can be. So then, don't forget the guys that say all digital is bad, analog FM is good, and we've all heard the same debates over digital photography versus analog photography, and many, many other. I mean, I'm sure we could come up with a thousand of examples of these types of debates. So, when the religion kicks in, because the facts start to fade and the beliefs rise to the surface, usually these arguments can't be resolved because you can't really debate beliefs. Isn't that the truth? Beliefs and opinions, we all have them, and we're all entitled to have them. But you can't resolve. And how many religious wars have there been over time, and are still raging that can't be, and I won't name any names or any countries, but you just can't seem to find a resolution. The article continues, what you get instead are flame wars on the various email groups. So what other religious debates are out there? Code versus no code, open source software versus commercial software, my favorite rig versus your favorite rig, VHS versus Beta, the classic from many years ago. And what else he finishes with? And that's from Bob, K0NR. And I thought that was a good article and some good food for thought. So with that, I'll open it up for comments again. We're looking at 18 minutes past the hour of 9. My name is Pete, VE2XPL, and this is South Cars TNT. If anybody have any comments, come on aboard now. Okay, I guess all y'all agree with me. My God, who would have thought? Anyhow, I'm just joking, of course. I love y'all, and you guys all love me, I know. So with that, I will continue. More news that I thought. Well, actually, I'm going to take a little pause here. Go back to page one of my document, and you guys all got your pens and pencils ready, I trust. I'm gonna try a little bit of an exercise. The thing I heard on the local net. So I'll take a pause. I'll have a sip of water. I'll let you guys grab your pens and papers, and not a very complicated math exercise, but an interesting one. So I hope you all participate. And you guys can even do this in your head. I did it in my head before, so if I can do it in my head, you guys know it's not complicated. So bear with me here. You guys got to pick a number between 1 and 9. It could be any number between 1 and 9. So you pick that number, 1 and 9. You got the number? Now you take that number and you multiply it by 9. This is probably the most complicated part of the whole problem here. Take the number that you picked between 1 and 9 and multiply it by 9. So I'll do mine out loud here. I'll pick number 1 for the sake of simplicity. Multiply 1 by 9, and what do you get? 9. So you take the you take your product, so whatever number you came up with after you multiplied by 9, and you take the numbers and you add them together. So in my example, I have a 9, so it's a standalone 9. If you pick the number 2, for example, and you multiply that by 9, that's 18. So what you do with your 18 is you take the 1 and the 8 and you add them together. So again, pick a number from 1 to 9, multiply by 9, and then you take the product and you take the individual numbers and you add them together. You guys following me so far? Any questions? Yeah, good. We have a bunch of math wizards. If you guys can get your licenses, you can certainly do this problem. I might even be going too slow for you guys. So now that you've added your two numbers together, or if it was a standalone number, you take that number, subtract 5. So take that number, minus 5. And now you have another number. You take that number and you equate it to the letters of the alphabet. So if you have the number 1, that is the letter A. Number 2, letter B. Number 3, letter C. Number 4, letter D, and so on. You guys following me? I'll give you a second to do that. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Whatever letter you came up with, I would like you to think of a country that starts with that letter. So if you picked C, I want you guys to take Canada, of course, because I'm from Canada. So take the letter, pick a country. Think of a country that starts with the letter. You guys all got a country? Excellent. Now, take the last letter of that country, the last letter of that country, and think of an animal. last letter of the country, think of an animal. I'll give you a second to do that. You guys all got your animal? You guys need some more time? All right, so the culmination of this math problem is, I guarantee y'all that there are no koalas and no kangaroos in Denmark. Did that make sense to everyone? Did anybody have anything different? Chime in now. V2XPO with South Cars TNT. I think it's just you and me, Wesley. Nobody else is chiming in. But that's okay. As long as I got one person listening, I'm happy. So with that, I'll carry on with some more news. Another thing which is pretty cool. This is from the ARRL website. The ARRL, a great organization. I strongly encourage you guys to become a member of your amateur radio relay league in the U.S. Here in Canada, the equivalent is RAC, Radio Amateur Canada, of which I'm a proud member. Both organizations put out great publications, and like I said, I encourage you all to become a member. Excuse me. There goes that pesky voice again. Yeah, I think I'm coming down with what my girls had this week there. But that's okay. They're feeling better, so they'll be able to take care of me now, hopefully. My wife, Kathy, will be happy to hear that my wife has made me some wonderful chocolate chip cookies. She was busy baking today, so she must be feeling better because I had chocolate chip cookies, fresh baked bread, and fresh baked cinnamon bread, cinnamon raisin bread, which is really, really yummy toasted. So that was really good. I'm not rubbing it in. I just I love freshly home-baked goods. Nothing like homemade food, you know. I grew up on my grandparents' farm, and my grandmother, she baked for a whole bunch of us every day, and just brings me back to my youth every time. So let me pause for a second and fix my voice. All right, no koalas or kangaroos in Denmark, they say. Okay, so this is from the ARRL, ARRL.org. Amateur, and this will be, you guys in southern Florida will be thrilled about this if you already haven't heard it, and you probably have, but amateur radio station WX4NHC is featured in a national commercial. National, that means all around the country. WX4NHC, make sure I get that right, the amateur radio station at the National Hurricane Center, the NHC, in Miami, Florida, is featured in a 60-second radio spot for XXX batteries. I won't name the batteries. I don't think it's the place of this open forum to promote, and I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to do that according to Part 97 of FCC, so I'm not taking any chances. I'll go, you guys can probably guess which batteries we're talking about. The commercial, which begins airing this month, this is in November, highlights the efforts of an all-volunteer army of ham radio operators for WX4NHC. Narrated by actor Jeff Bridges, who many of you know probably, it describes the important role that radio amateurs play during severe weather conditions, enabling communications with emergency medical teams, police, and fire departments whenever the power goes out. The narration underscores the importance of the reliable battery to power a portable ham radio, which are crucial to WX4NHC's work. So this commercial is being played nationally during hurricane season and will help promote awareness of amateur radio and the public service. It never helps to have a star promote anything, really, and if we can get one promoting amateur radio, then all the better. Sorry, I've lost my place. Amateur radio and the public service will help promote awareness of amateur radio and the public service we do to provide emergency communications. This is a quote from the ARL's website. Especially during and after hurricanes, when we have experienced complete electrical and conventional communication blackouts for periods of days and weeks, WX4NHC Assistant Coordinator Julio Ripoll, WD4R, told the ARRL. Ripoll, it might be pronounced Ripple, I'm not sure, said that he and WX4NHC Amateur Radio Coordinator John McHugh, K4AG, worked with the Acme marketing firm. My God, there's still Acme companies? I remember that from Bugs Bunny. Or it was a coyote when he was chasing the Roadrunner. He always used to get his stuff from Acme. And his stuff never worked, so if I had a company, I don't think I would call it Acme, but that's just my personal information, and XXX batteries for several weeks to help produce the radio commercial. It captures the essence of amateur radio volunteer public service and the important role of amateur radio performance. The important role of amateur radio performed during emergency communications in a 30-second spot, Ripple said. The president and creative director of ACME and the XXX national representative also flew down to Miami and received a tour of NHC and of the National Hurricane Center Station, where they learned about the many modes of communication, including portable VHF, UHF radios, and other portable battery-operated equipment. With this new spot, he says, we're helping to showcase the important contributions made by the Miami ham radio operators. All y'all in Miami there should be proud of this. This being the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, I thought this would be a very appropriate article to read. Miami radio operators said the XXX battery company's Bob Jacobs, these heroic teams are working to save the lives of others. When storms strike, the radio operators are donating their time, this is all volunteer-based, to make sure communications stay intact. Facing intense pressures and dangerous conditions to those in need, we're proud that our batteries can help power these life-saving efforts. I'm going to play a little bit of this radio spot. I'm going to stop about halfway just when they mention the battery company's names. Like I said, I just want to make sure I'm not breaking any rules. Perhaps some of you can enlighten me after as to whether I'm breaking rules or not. But let me pause for a second, and I'll play a little bit of this spot. I thought it was pretty cool. All right, I thought the link was broken, but it's not. So here we go.
When a hurricane is coming, most people make sure they've got batteries. And if you think all batteries are the same, consider this. In Miami, they know just how bad a hurricane can be. Days, sometimes even weeks, without power, telephones, even the cell phones can go dead. That's when the city counts on an all-volunteer army of ham radio operators. Their call sign is WX4NHC, and during an emergency, they call the ambulances, they call the police, they call the fire department. And
there you go, and I'll stop it right there. But I thought this was really cool. And, you know, what better way to promote there's my 60-minute alarm. Sorry about that. What better way to... Oh. Sorry about that. I just turned on my MP3 player. I have a phone that's an alarm, an MP3 player, a camera, and I often hit the wrong buttons. Apologies. Anyways, as I was saying, how cool is that spot? What better way to highlight ham radio, to highlight the National Hurricane Center, just to highlight our hobby, to highlight Southern Florida. So there you go, Southern Florida. That one's for you. This is Pete, V2XPL in Montreal. We're looking at 21:31 Eastern. We've been going for 61 minutes. And at this time, I will pause for any comments. I'm sure some of you have got to have, some of y'all have to have comments about how cool that spot was. So come on aboard to South Cars TNT. Okay, I'm going to give you guys another chance because I can't believe nobody has anything to say about how cool that was. Come on aboard to South Cars TNT. Now, you guys aren't really intimidated by long, uncomfortable silences, are you? All right, I'll just keep blabbing. Thanks for helping me break the law. This is a one-way transmission, which I reiterate is illegal under FCC Part 97. Of course, I'm completely safe because I'm hiding up here in Canada across the border. No one's going to come get me up here. It's too darn cold. So continuing on, this week's podcast review. I'm a huge fan of podcasts. I spend a lot of time in buses and subways on my way to work. I have a lot of time to think, write, take notes, and listen to podcasts. So this week I would like to highlight a podcast called Resonant Frequency, the amateur radio podcast. This podcast is based in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, actually in Mesquite, Texas, and it's hosted by Jerry, Kilo Bravo 5, Juliet Bravo Victor. Jerry states, I've been an amateur radio operator since 1988. currently an assistant section manager, official observer, official relay station, official emergency station, VE technical specialist for the ARRL in North Texas, and also an RS, AEC, and RACES assistant radio officer for the city of Mesquite, Texas. And there's the segue from our last spot there. Our resonant frequency of the Amateur Radio Podcast was created to help get information on amateur radio out to the new ham and to the ham that wants to find out about different aspects of the hobby. They are thinking about trying out, bringing guests in on different aspects of the radio. I guess that's an old little spot because they do bring in guests on occasion. They're up to 39 episodes so far, and they, since their inception a couple of years ago, and they cover all kinds of topics. Interview interesting people from youth involved in amateur radio to seasoned veterans. They discuss all kinds of subjects, and it's very informative for the new and the not-so-new ham. They average 45 to 60 minutes per podcast, and the page where you can find the podcast comes complete with the podcast, of course, with show notes and a blog. So it's actually kind of an interactive thing, a lot like the Solder Smoke podcast that I was talking to you guys a couple of weeks ago. Included in the blog page is a Frapper map, which I think is kind of a neat little widget that he's stuck in there, a virtual map that you could stick a pin in so that Jerry and other listeners can know where you're from. And when you stick a pin in the map, you can put in your call sign, your name, where you're from, a few comments, and he'll say your name on the radio if you're lucky. So I invite all of you guys to check out Resonant Frequency, the Amateur Radio Podcast. You can get that. You can just, the easiest way to find it is to Google Resonant Frequency Amateur Radio Podcast. It'll be one of the first hits, and it's available via www.blacksparrowmedia.com. That's all in one word, www.blacksparrowmedia.com/resonant frequency. Jerry has another podcast that he does. A busy guy, this Jerry. He does something called Linux in the Ham Shack, another segue to the religion and the ham radio article there. Linux in the Ham Shack. He puts out weekly with another amateur, whose call sign I didn't write down. I apologize for that. I've actually not had the opportunity to actually listen to that podcast yet. I'm planning on getting involved in Linux as time goes on, but right now I have two kids that keep me quite busy, so the Linux box will have to wait. As time permits, I will probably listen and give you a review on a future installment of the TNT Open Forum. With that, I'll open it up once again for questions, comments, concerns. Just chime in and tell me you hate me. This is V2XPL in Montreal, and this is the TNT Open Forum. I love the long, uncomfortable pauses. Like I said, it gives me a chance to shovel through my papers, put them back in order, figure out where I'm going with this rant. Quick book review. I looked through the bookshelf there and pulled out Ham Radio for Dummies. Yes, another installment in the For Dummies series. This was actually my first amateur radio book, which I... You know, I figured I was pretty much a beginner. I've actually, I've been licensed since 95, but I had many, many years of inactivity. So when I came back, the learning curve was a little bit steep. So I figured, saw that on Amazon.com, and I figured Ham Radio for Dummies, what a great buy. And I have a bunch of the For Dummies series. And they're a great series, and I recommend them to all, from dogs to... ham radio to economics to anything, Linux, Microsoft, whatever you guys want to learn. It's pretty guaranteed that there is a For Dummies book for you. And believe me, these For Dummies books are not for dummies. They are for the beginner, and they have a lot of advanced information, a lot. It's a great reference manual. But anyways, Ham Radio for Dummies, this edition, the one I have, was put out in 2004. Its editor is Ward Silver, N0AX. Ward was licensed at the age of 17 in 1972. And he's had a long career in broadcasting. He's an electrical engineer and a computer programmer. He teaches at a local university, and he writes, not local here in Montreal, but local where he lives. And I apologize, but I didn't write that down either. And he writes a weekly article in QST magazine. There you go. It says he's currently adjunct faculty with the Seattle University's Electrical and Computer Engineering Department, concentrating on laboratory instruction. There you go. So like I said, this book is a must for new hams and old hams alike. Just because of its cool yellow and black color, if nothing else, it stands out in your shack, you know. The target audience, like I said, is everyone, from those seeking information about how to get into the hobby, prepare to take the test, setting up your first shack. It's got stuff in here on safety, casual operations, contesting, getting on the air. There's my alarm again. Let's see, what else? Specialty interest, groups, housekeeping, logs, QSL, CW. My goodness, just the list goes on and on. I'm leafing through the long table of contents. It's in five parts, it's got 18 chapters, 311 pages. So I highly recommend this book. It's a great, great addition to your Radio Shack library. Here's an example of what you'll find inside. I'll take a short pause. So whether you're a new ham, an old ham, an SWL, listening, of course, is a lot of fun. How do you guys get started? There's an article in here on the 10 secrets to jumping into ham radio. And I won't read the whole article. But basically, the 10 secrets are listen. That's the very, a good tip. Listen. Buddy up. Know your equipment. Follow the manufacturer's recommendations. I don't know if I agree with that one. It's like reading the instructions, you know. We're guys. Guys don't read instructions. Try different things. Remember that nobody knows everything. I joke about the instruction stuff. I still read my radio's instructions regularly. A lot of them have features on them that I never remember how to program, and I continually have to refer to my manuals. But that's me. Remember that nobody knows everything. Practice courtesy. Here's an important one. Behind every receiver is a person just like you. I thought this one was especially important. Polite terms like please, thanks, excuse me, and sorry work just as well on the air as they do in person. Listen before transmitting and be flexible. If you encounter a rude operator, just go somewhere else or find something else to do. Don't let tempers escalate on the air. These are the kinds of tips you'll get. You know, it continues. Join in. If you fall off the saddle, get right back in. And last tip is relax. It's a hobby. Other features, soldering 101, a whole article on how to solder that I printed, and I was going to read some, but because of time constraints, I don't think I will. Maybe I'll read a little part of it. I mean, just some of the tips. Remember the old joke about knowing which end of the soldering iron to hold on to? Seriously, soldering iron can burn you or cause a fire. Ain't that the truth? Liquid solder can cause severe burns too. Yeah, I think every one of us has experienced that for ourselves. So always use caution when melting solder. It goes on to explain how to solder. The best technique for soldering is simple. So repeat this mantra: heat the metal, not the solder. I mean, it's a simple thing, but I've seen a lot of guys soldering and then heating the solder and trying to blob it onto their wire. Like I said, tips for the new ham, tips for the old ham alike. As he shuffles through his papers, you guys can hear me. I'm not even trying to hide anymore. At this time, I will identify myself, Pete, VE2XPL. This is the TNT Open Forum, and I'll pause for comments at this time. Come on aboard. All right, I will continue with my illegal broadcast of information, my rant. down. We're getting to the end. Getting to the end, people. We're getting close. It's time for the TNT mailbag. Dear Pete, let me start by saying that I love the TNT Open Forum and its associated podcast, available at www.voip.southcars.com. This is probably the best show and podcast in the world, nay, the entire universe, bar none. I find your topics very informative and entertaining. And you, Pete, are probably the best show host I've ever heard, ever. You're funny, intelligent, captivating, and no doubt that you're also the best-looking show host on the planet. Thank you for being you. Please continue doing so. Please continue doing the most wonderful job I have ever seen. Sincerely, hey, look at that. It's from me, Pete. That's right. We have no mail. We still haven't had any mail, but we want mail. So unless you guys want me to keep reading emails from myself, which will sound pretty much like that every week, I want you guys to send me some feedback. I'd love to have some emails. I'd love to have some show ideas, some feedbacks. I'd love to get topics from you guys for future shows, what you like. Send me what you don't like. Like I said, email me and tell me you hate me. Give me some constructive criticism. After all, this podcast is for you guys. And if thanks, John. But if you guys want me to keep ranting about what I like to rant, that's fine. I mean, I'll just keep talking about what I love to talk about. But I'm really interested in keeping it interesting for you guys. So please send me some feedback. You can email us at voip@southcars.com. All right, final announcements. What's coming up on the TNT Open Forum next week? I have no idea. I'm going to see if I can get our mystery guy, the gentleman I was going to interview. Perhaps he'll be available next week. And if not, I'll come up with something to keep you guys entertained. I'm sure I can drum somebody up. But as it stands now, I have no plan. The following week, let me just double-check the date. That's right, the 26th of November is a holiday for you guys, and I wrote it down. That's your Thanksgiving. I'm sorry, our Thanksgiving is earlier. Being in Canada, our harvest comes earlier than you guys in the South, so our Thanksgiving is about a month earlier. Our Thanksgiving was a few weeks ago. So on the 26th, Thanksgiving falls on a Thursday this year, so there will be no open forum on the 26th of November, so you guys can stuff yourselves with turkey and all that good Thanksgiving stuff. That is that announcement. Let's see. Our open forums are available as podcasts, as you all know, at www.voip.southcars.com. Look for the South Cars VOIP podcast at the left of the page. And I put that disclaimer here again, that the opinions are mine, but by now you guys have figured out that these opinions are mine and do not represent those of South Cars. And finally, still looking for producers for the show, one or many co-producers. If you guys want your say, if you guys want to talk about what you want to talk about, I strongly, strongly encourage you to join the team. Looking for one or many, you can be responsible for a show every week. Not every week, I'd still like to do some. Show every month, sorry. Or maybe you just want to produce one show, on a quarterly basis, one show a year if you want. That'd be cool too. Or if you have a topic that you're interested in presenting, then please contact me before I come get you. And we'd be happy to hear. I'm sure there's a lot of you guys out there who have expertise in many areas, and it certainly doesn't have to be technical. I'd be more than happy to hear a presentation on gardening, if you guys are interested in hearing about gardens, about photography, about what's happening in your area, about the different types of licensing in the different countries. That might be an interesting topic as well. So if you have some sort of expertise or knowledge that you'd like to share, I'd love to have you guys on the show. So please contact me again, voip@southcars.com. With that, I'm going to open her up for comments, final comments, and if nobody chimes in, I guess I'll wrap her up. We're looking at 9:48 p.m. here in the east, so my name is Pete. This is my station is Victor Echo 2 X-Ray Papa Lima, And there's my alarm again. Listen to that. Isn't that cute? Oops, sorry. I'm not supposed to transmit music. Oh, no, I'm breaking the law again. So I'll open it up for questions, comments, concerns. Come on aboard to the TNT Open Forum. Going once. TNT Open Forum. Open Forum. Come on aboard. All right, I'm just going to have to pick on someone. W8RAT, come on aboard.
I've been listening. Headset. Sitting on the desk. Good evening. VE2XPLP. W8RAT. very good show. I've heard part of it. I've been in and out. Haven't heard all of it, but very entertaining as usual. With some nice, funny spots in there, which keeps everybody smiling, I'm sure. Keeps me smiling. And reading your mail from the mailbag there. That was a good one. That was a real good one. That was something I would do. But anyway, I'm sitting here listening and thinking about what topics. I'm not absolutely sure, but... one of my hobbies is paintball, competition paintball, actually. So that, could be something we could talk about a little bit. Most people would say, paintball, I don't know, but that's one of my other hobbies there. Our radio control race cars, I did that for quite a few years. Was actually a 2004 state champion here in Florida, in the electric modified truck, and placed fifth place in electric modified buggy the same year. So that's something also, if you say anything is open for discussion, then that would be something that I would like to discuss at one point in time. Like you said, if you can get several people with different topics, put a show together to discuss what they like to do and, there are other hobbies or interests. That would be great. Back to you there, Pete, VE2XPL from W8RAT.
Well, there you go. Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate the kind words. And you gave me some ideas. That's awesome. I think paintball is great. And we could certainly have a discussion about it. Maybe there's a round table if you'd like to give a presentation. I don't know if you'd talk for an hour and a half about it. If you can, that's great. Like I said, yeah, anything goes. When we conceived this, that was the whole idea. It wasn't just a technical forum, or else I would have called it the technical forum. But it's a thematic forum. It just has to have a theme. And most people who are hams, I find, are pretty much interested in a whole bunch of different areas. We'll give a subject a chance, even if they haven't thought of it before, or if they're not interested in paintball themselves. They'll at least listen to what you have to say about it, and there's always something to learn. I'm curious, John. Real quick, do you guys use any kind of? Because I used to play paintball too in my younger days, and actually I want to go back so badly. I haven't played in years, and I think it's a great thing. I remember it hurts when you get shot, but it's a lot of fun. But do you guys use any kind of headset communications? Are you that involved? Because I remember seeing teams that were, almost like army platoons, that they would come out with their whole headset gear and communicate with each other. And I thought that was pretty cool, too. Did you guys ever play that way? Over.
Well, honestly, I've seen it. I've played against teams with a few different guys that had those. I never have. I thought it was a little bit of
we just use hand signals, or we just out and out, when we found somebody, we would talk about it out loud. And it kind of gives your positions away when you're playing in the woods. But the guys that we played against, it's really kind of funny, that had the headsets, 90% of the time, we still beat them. I don't know how that works, being able to whisper and communicate to each other, and us just out loud saying, I got so-and-so over here, you know, move left, do this, do that. The main thing that I've done, though, that I really enjoyed, I started playing in the woods, but my main thing is what they call speedball, and it's the competition paintball that you see on TV where they're running and hiding behind blow-up bunkers, we call them. That's my main thing. Games are over in a matter of just a minute or two. Sometimes games are over in seconds, and I've had that actually happen to my team a couple of times. We were pretty good at it, but teams also watch other teams that are good and figure a way around their strategies, create their own, and I've had games last about 15 seconds, and all of my guys be shot out, except for me, of course. And then what happens at that point, you got five guys on either side, and all your guys are shot out. Guess what? There's still five guys, and they're coming gunning for you. And at the time when I was doing the competition, they shoot 15 balls a second. Now, do the math. 15 balls a second times five guys. That's too many paintballs. But that's my thing. I really enjoy the speedball, the real quick adrenaline rush competition. The woods ball, playing in the woods, though, I like that, too, because you get more of a chance to run around. It gives you more exercise. And like you said, crawling through bushes and in there with the bugs and the critters, that's quite an adrenaline rush also. But it's a whole lot of fun. And, yeah, there's a couple guys that had the headsets, but it never really did them a whole lot of good. And I think they realized that, and they stopped coming out with them. Over.
Yeah, roger that. Now, we used to find the same. The guys that would go all out with all the gear were just the pretty boys with the money, we called them. You know, they had a lot of money to buy the toys. They'd buy the semi-automatic or the automatic paintball guns. But there's nothing beats experience and strategy, you know. So I agree with you there. But, yeah, no, I think that'd be cool. And, I mean, that gave me another idea, too, for another show. Get a round table going and people can discuss their hobbies. I mean, because we all, most of us, many of us, and probably all of us have more than one hobby, ham radio being one of them, which we discuss on a regular basis. But I have a round table on various other hobbies that people may have. You know, I didn't know that you used to race RC vehicles, for example, which I think is another pretty cool thing, technology related, but also, toys for big boys. So I think that's pretty cool. And you gave me a couple of good ideas, John. I appreciate you coming back. Any final thoughts or comments?
No, that does sound good, though. Getting everybody involved in that round table, mostly it's you and a few of us talking amongst ourselves and not a whole lot of input from the round table. I think if we could get them involved in that, tell them about their hobbies and their other interests besides ham radio, that would be very interesting. That would bring out and almost like it's like sitting down at a table with someone that you don't really know and getting to know them, know a little bit more about them. So that does sound like a really, really good idea. You know, I raced go-karts for a number of years. When I first met my wife, that's what I was doing. And that was almost 14 years ago now. I was traveling around the state doing that too, so flying radio control planes, I've done that, all kind of things. I've dabbled in a whole lot of different areas as far as hobbies is concerned, and my stepfather, when I was a young boy, got me into doing all these different things, so it just continued, and I've always had something to do. All right, Pete, I'm going to turn it back over to you, VE2XVL from W8RAP.
Yeah, very good, John. Thanks for the input. Like I said, I really appreciate that. They gave me a couple ideas, and I'm going to have to start picking on y'all. I'm going to have to turn regular, like we do with the regular net. So I'm going to start at the top of the list, and I'm going to name you guys off and harass you with questions until you guys answer me. But yeah, we'll find the time to do that. I think that's a really, really good idea, and everybody loves to talk about their hobbies. I mean, we love our hobbies. That's why we do them, and we love to talk about them. So what a great idea for a show. So forthcoming, people, forthcoming roundtable discussion in the open forum about hobbies. I think that would be a lot of fun. So with that, I found for my final thought tonight, and that relates a little bit to some of the stuff that I was reading out from Ham Radio for Dummies. Final thoughts tonight come from Mother Teresa, and I quote, "Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless." So with that, I'd like to say good night to everyone. Thank you for listening to me, for putting up with me again. I've had a total of over 20 stations, 23 stations, I believe, spanning 5 countries, 3 continents. Not too shabby. So I thank everyone for listening, and I invite you all to come back next week for another edition of South Cars TNT Open Forum. See you next week, everyone. Good night.